All right, Brother Board's going to come. It's our last message of our missions conference. I would ask you when he's done, the service is not over. Tonight we will take our faith promise up, and that's a vital part of our missions. And so let's make sure that when we're done, we don't need to go out, get our children, those type of things. The service will still be going on, and let's be in our place. And we appreciate Brother Board being with us. Let's give him another, and for the last time this time, a Pacific Baptist welcome.
Thank you, sir. We're still on track. All right, good evening. Everybody okay tonight? How many of you are having a bit of a battle going on in your stomach from that food court? Okay, I skipped the food court, and it's because I ate too much food at Brother Ron Chow's home, and I couldn't bear to come and eat more food. However, Miss Alma took note that my health was not right, and my cough was bad, and my voice was going out, and the whole deal. And so she, yesterday, dropped off a whole bag of supplements. Now, whatever you do, folks, if you're sick and you want to be healed, let Pastor Meyer's wife know, and she'll hook you up, okay? However, I'm suspecting that in her case, she wanted to find a way to keep me home today and not come to church, because she loaded me up with oil of oregano, which is in my system, garlic, which is in my system, hep something. I don't know. It looks like hepatitis. I think you loaded me up with hepatitis or something, okay, and a medical marijuana, the whole deal. And there's a battle, okay? It's not just a spiritual battle in missions. There's a battle going on right here. So if you see me run out of here, it's not the Holy Ghost came on me or something. I'm just going to fellowship somewhere else. And so that's what that's all about. Amen? All right. Thank you, friends, for being back tonight. And as I told you, each evening we have our brothers and sisters in Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand that are praying and fasting for the meeting this week. Praying for our college students. Praying for our college students. I want you to hear, we have a very short time tonight. And the good news is I think I might even be done before Pastor Meyer's time that he gave me. Okay, that's the good news. In Cambodia, I have the folks vote. When I say I might get done early, how many of you believe it? And there's a lot of believers over there. And then there's always those mockers who will always mock, okay? So I'm not going to have you all vote. But I do want you to hear, and I ask this young lady's permission. This is a young lady that's paid a great price in the past, not for being a Christian, but for choosing to stand for the Lord. She was saved out of Buddhism. Her parents do not know the Lord. She has a sister who has come to Christ, lives in another village many, many hours away where there's not a gospel preaching church. She moved to Phnom Penh to go to university. I believe she was going to major in tourism, okay, which is something a lot of young people major in there in Cambodia in university. And as she began to grow in the Lord, she lost that desire to be a tour guide someday and make a lot of money with tourists. And as you'll see in a moment, her English is very good. And it's really improved since she's been there around our church and whatnot. But she's a godly young lady who's paid a pretty heavy price in the past and faced some rejection from her parents for not just being a Christian, but for being a Christian who obeys the word of God. As I mentioned this morning, you're going to take no persecution here in America for being a Christian unless you're a Christian who obeys the word of God. See, Brother Wong goes to plant a church in San Francisco. If he plants the status quo, you won't have any opposition, brother. But if you're faithful to the word of God, there's going to be opposition. This young lady's had a lot of opposition, but she's a young lady that loves the Lord, and we love her. She sent us a voicemail, actually to my wife, and just saying, you'll hear what she has to say. I want you to hear the voice of one of the people who is being reached because of our church here at home. I want you to hear the sincerity in her voice. I think you might be shocked at how good her English is. Sometimes I feel a little ashamed to speak English around some of our people over there, because when they learn English, they learn it in university, and they learn grammar and all that. And when we learned it, we done just learned it at home, whatever our parents taught us, right? Okay, so let's see if we can listen here. Guys, I'm going to try to hold this up to the mic, all right? What do you want? I don't know what you're saying. Go west, young man, or something. I have no idea what you're saying. Okay, let's try to listen here.
Hello, Nekru. I just want to let you know that I miss you and Pastor so much. I have been thinking a lot about you and praying for you all over there, especially for the conference. I pray that the Lord will work in the hearts of people over there. I pray that they will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I pray that the message will touch their hearts, especially the mission. And I pray that they will submit to God's will for their life. And I also pray for Pastor, for the strength. I really miss you, and we all miss you too. And praying for you all over there.
Wow. We've got to get back to Cambodia real soon. We love our people. Hope you understood. She said she's praying. She misses us, and that's all good. She's praying that you will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. She's praying that through this conference the last few days and what went on in the college, that you will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I hope you will. I hope that her prayers and her skipping meals, and I received a text this morning from one of our team members, and he let me know that his family today and several of our nationals will be fasting with him and praying, and they're praying and fasting that you will do what God's called you to do. And because the theme of our conference this year is a call to missions, that would mean that some of us would step out and follow that call. Okay. By the way, God is working. And I discern that it seems like you guys are tolerating whatever I'm saying, okay? You get a little nervous. Guys, let me say, it's a lot scarier on this side than it is when you're sitting down there, okay? There's a reason why God told a prophet in the Old Testament, don't fear their faces. And sometimes when God tells you to say something, you say it and you're like, good night, why did I say that? You just prepare yourself. I haven't got any of that this week. And it might be in some of our hearts, I don't know. But thank you for being an easy congregation to preach to. And thank you, friends, there at home in Cambodia. We have a number of our folks that are watching and will watch the live stream and whatnot later on. Let me just say a quick word to the folks there in Cambodia. Akon bangpon, al ban chui atitan, samrapo yang no tini. Akon bangpon ban atitan, time te yang tam. Nambi ang pre ang turka, no kanong, jet and be bangpon no tini, som banta atitan. Halukuru nekuru nek bangpon ting akonia. Philippians chapter 2, let's open our Bibles together. Philippians chapter 2, we will not be long this evening. This evening, fellows, are we set up there? All right? The question is simply this: what is holding you back? The first two evenings we discussed and we considered the fact that this call to the mission field, the call to spread the gospel to places that are dark, is a door that is open. It's a big door. There's a big job. There's 195 nations, there's 16,000 people groups, there's 7.9 billion individuals for whom Christ died, and it's incumbent upon us to be concerned about that at a minimum, and then to ask ourselves, what role does God want each one of us individually to play in helping to see those countries, those people groups, and those individuals come to Christ? Part of that is what we're doing right here in Jerusalem. Excited about November 7th, excited about the contracts on the walls, excited about the work that you all will do over the next couple weeks to continue to forge those relationships, and looking for a great harvest on that day. That's part of the Great Commission, Jerusalem. But we know, folks, that it's much more than that, and it's simultaneous. And as we said this morning, we're to move from the known to the unknown. We know it's a big task. We talked this morning about the darkness, and what it's like to live in darkness, and the fact that we have light and we need to take that light. And so the question tonight is simply this. And for sake of time, we're going to skip a lot of the verses we're going to read. We're simply going to read one verse. I'm going to have a couple thoughts. I'm going to give you 10 oppositions that people face often when they step out and they say, I'm no longer going to allow anything to hold me back. I'm going to go forward for God. Folks, if you plan to do that, expect some of these oppositions I'm going to talk about. And then I'm going to close, and we're going to take up our faith promise offering. Okay? or commitments. Philippians chapter 2, we're just going to read verse number 13. Philippians 2:13. You see it there on your screen. You see it in there in your copy of the Word of God. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now often when we're training our new disciples there in Cambodia, and I will talk about grace, we'll talk about mercy. We know mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy this evening? If we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be sitting here. Amen? But grace is God's unmerited favor. And as believers, we have been given the desire and the ability to do what God's called us to do with great joy. How do you know if you're living with the grace of God operating in your life? Because this evening, friends, you have a desire to do what God's calling you to do. You think about these missionaries that are going different places. You think about your team that's serving in Southeast Asia. And you think, wow, how could they ever do that? How could someone say, you know, I never wanted to go to China, but I went there willingly. And once I got there, I felt terrible that I had to come back to America. How could that even take place? Where would that desire come from? Let me tell you something, friends. It's not because they're a super Christian. Missionaries are not super Christians. Missionaries have the same struggles you have. In fact, I said this morning or last night or sometime, because missionaries are not on the front line, they're dropped behind lines. Oftentimes, missionaries in other countries and other cultures have a lot more problems than we have here at home. They have a target on their back. Imagine what would happen if the devil could knock out some of our team members morally there in Southeast Asia. It could wreak havoc, could it not? I was in a conference recently with a man who led a huge ministry at a huge church. The pastor messed up morally. He sinned. He paid the price. He's still paying the price. And this man talked to me about what it did to the youth group and to the college that was a part of that church. It decimated the youth group. And so don't think that pastors, don't think assistant pastors, staff members, missionaries are super Christians. We're normal people. We're just like you. In fact, some of us might be a little worse. Okay? But it is God who gives us, who works in us both to will, okay, to have this desire, and then to do, to have the ability. And that is God's grace working within our life. And this evening, friends, I want to say this. I want to tell you just real quickly, this last week as I taught in the college, I built everything that we spoke about, taught about, on two premises. Okay, premise number one, I told the students this. I said, we don't need more education about the Great Commission. We don't need, as a college student, if you've grown up in a Christian home, you've grown up in this church or another church of like faith, probably you don't need me to explain to you what the Great Commission is and the command to go. You don't need that. In church tonight, of all churches that I'll be in and been in the last few months and be in the next month, we right here do not need more education about the Great Commission. We're well versed in it. Our leaders here have taught us well. We're grounded in the Word of God. We know the Great Commission. And so we don't need more education about the Great Commission. We simply just need to obey the command to go. And the tragedy is this, friends. Oftentimes those with the most education, those who best know the Word of God, best know the needs around the world, best know statistics about unreached people groups, are the ones who continually sit here in America. And so my first premise that I shared with the students and I'll share with you tonight is we don't need more education about the Great Commission. Some of us just need to get up and obey. And the second premise that we discussed in the college is most Christians agree that there should be more missionaries. Now, if I were to have us raise our hands in here this evening and say, only those of you who are born again are qualified to answer the question, how many of you, now don't do it, but if we did, how many of you would agree there should be more missionaries in the world? Every single one of us would raise our hand. Okay, for no other reason, because we felt peer pressure. Okay, but we know this is one thing that God, that Jesus Christ commanded us to pray for, is for more laborers. So we would say emphatically that God does desire more missionaries to be on the field. But here's the problem. They just don't agree on who those people should be. Everybody agrees there should be more missionaries. The problem is Christians in America, because we're in America, just happen to not agree about who those people should be. You know, it reminds me of the pastor one day who got up in his service and announced that next Saturday morning there was going to be a men's prayer breakfast, and they would be serving chicken, eggs and bacon. Eggs and bacon. And make sure you come to the men's prayer breakfast. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a huge banquet, and we're going to pray together. And there just happened that day to be a pig and a chicken sitting in the audience. I don't see any here tonight. Now, in Cambodia, we actually have pigs and chickens sometimes. And the chicken started rejoicing, was just very, very excited about this prayer breakfast and couldn't wait to go there and participate. And the pig looked at the chicken, and the pig began weeping violently. And the chicken was rejoicing, and the pig was weeping. And the chicken looked at the pig and said, "What is wrong with you, brother? You need to get with the program. We're going to have a men's prayer breakfast. We have an opportunity to give our very best for this banquet." And the pig looked at the chicken and said, "My friend, you will go next week and you'll give a donation. I'm going to make a total sacrifice." Okay. When we preach about missions, you'll get that, Brother Ross, you'll get that sometime tonight, and you'll figure it out. Don't text me when you get it, because my phone will be muted, okay? Some of us in here, we're super, super excited about missionary surrendering. By the way, I believe people have been praying, people have been fasting. You showed up every service. Pastor has said, push the idea of going. The Holy Spirit is working. We've sung songs about going. Just need a servant that's willing to go and the whole deal. So I fully expect folks to surrender. It's going to happen. But you need to understand this. Not everybody's going to be super excited about it. That chicken was thrilled. The pig wasn't. Some of you this evening know God's working on your heart. You're feeling that pressure. If you'll surrender, you won't feel pressure anymore. You'll feel a great sense of relief because you'll know you can trust your future to the Lord. You see, we feel pressure. We feel a sense of bondage. We feel a discomfort when we hear preaching on missions, when God's working in our heart and we're not willing to submit. I'm saying that for the few of us that are feeling pressure right now. So the thing is, God is speaking. Will we choose to respond? God is speaking, but will we choose to respond? I mentioned this morning there's three responses we'll have when God has clearly made his will known to us. Some of us will say, "Not me." Some of us will say, "Well, convince me." Others may say, "Send me." By the way, there's only one response that would be a perfect response. We think about "not me." What Old Testament prophet would have said, "God, I know for sure you called me to do a certain thing," relating to the gospel, relating to seeing the wicked not perish and go to hell, "but God, not me, I'm not going to do it." Well, that would be Jonah. And we know that story, and we don't want to be a Christian that says, "not me." Now, if God hasn't made it specifically clear that you are to leave and go to the field, you don't have to worry about this. But for some of us that have felt that call, and we're concerned, and we know we've been giving to missions, we've been praying, we've been keeping in touch, we've been doing what we can to hold the ropes, but God has a specific calling for us. This evening, if you're the one that's saying, "not me," tonight is the night to surrender that. It's only when you surrender that you will live in peace. God's calling does not change. God's calling to Jonah did not change. Some of us, this is not the first conference we felt conviction that we're supposed to go. For some of us, it's been over and over and over. We don't want to be "not me." We also don't want to be the man that says, or the woman that says, the young person that says, "Well, God, you've shown me, but I need you to convince me." There was an Old Testament prophet that was told clearly what he was supposed to do, and he eventually did it. But before he did it, he said, "God, convince me more. Okay, convince me." That was Jeremiah. God said, "I've clearly created you even before birth for a specific purpose. And convince me, God." And God convinced him, and he eventually did it. Now, that's better than not responding at all. But you know the response that would honor God this evening, sometime this next week, as you're reflecting upon what it is God's called you to do, again, for those people that are hearing God's voice, the response is, send me. What Old Testament prophet, once he understood the vision, the call, said, not me. He didn't say, not me. He didn't say, convince me. He said, here am I, send me. That's Isaiah. We want to be an Isaiah. Maybe God's calling you to be more involved in ministry here in our local church. Don't say, not me. Hey, we always need more adult Sunday school teachers. We always need more. We still have care groups. We still need care group leaders. We need some of us to rise to the level to where we can take some leadership, some lay leadership here in this congregation. Don't be the one that says, not me. Be the one that says, Lord, send me. I'm willing to do it. And so this evening, I want us to understand this. And I took this from a book that I read in the past. It says there is a kind of a dam that keeps young Christian laborers pooled up in Western churches. It keeps them from spilling out into the nations of the unreached, even among those who are convinced of the necessity of church planting, talking about here at home, gospel preaching and making disciples. There are remarkably few who choose to address those needs in places other than their homeland. There seems to be some type of an invisible dam, a barrier. And the question is this, and we talked about it this morning. We talked about starving in a nation full of food versus starving in a nation where there is no food. And we made that spiritual analogy that there's many places in the world, the America, United States being one, where the gospel's all around us. No doubt there's dark and wicked cities like San Francisco that need more churches. But there's an awful lot of places in America that don't need another church, but young people would look to go there rather than looking to go to the hard places, specifically in a 1040 window. And what is this dam? What is it? What is it that it tends to be an invisible barrier that's keeping a lot of young people stateside? And we don't have time to go into these, but I've come up with, I'm very proud of myself, in the Khmer language, we can't alliterate. Okay, but I've got these points here alliterated in English. I enjoy preaching in English every once in a while. Peers. I don't have time to talk about all these, but let me say this. Young people, middle-aged people, older people, how do you know if a friend is someone God wants you to have? Because that friend will draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Young person, if you have a friend online, you have a friend somewhere, even in the Christian school, and that friend entices you to be sneaky, to be tricky, and go behind your parents' back, you know without a shadow of doubt that's not a friend God wants you to have. Peers can keep you from doing what God's called you to do. You see, some of us this evening may not be willing to step out and surrender and say, yes, Lord, I'll go, because we're concerned about what our friend would say. Well, you're going to throw away your life. By the way, guys, that we faced that 18 years ago when we surrendered and left. Right in the back of the old auditorium, a few weeks before it was time for us to leave, an individual in our church here, a well-meaning individual who was looking out for our well-being, no doubt. Sit down, Dave. Whoa, all right, sit down. What do you need? What in the world are you thinking, man? So we're thinking about what? Thinking about giving a karate chop and knocking him, you know. What are you thinking, taking your family over there to Cambodia? What is wrong with you? Now, thankfully, I was settled in the call. But you know, for a lot of people, we're not willing to do what God's called us to do because we're concerned about our peers. Don't let your peers cause you to be out of God's will. Oh, there's something else, and for many people, it's prosperity. You know, there in Cambodia, prosperity and the love of money and what we would call, the biblical term would be covetousness, is alive and well. Don't think that prosperity and finances and money and a love of money and a desire to be rich is something that's unique to first world nations. It's alive and well in third world Cambodia as well. Now, I thank God for godly men and women who are prosperous financially, who also love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the lost, love the local church, and use their resources to further the work of Christ. Thank God for that. You know, with the exception of our very first batch of tracts, which, by the way, many, many years ago, we put out in our prayer letter, we were going to be purchasing tracts. We're going to be printing them there in Cambodia, and it was going to be several hundred dollars. I thank God that Pastor Myers, you called me. You said, how much money do you need? I told him the amount, and he said, our family's going to give it. I thank God for that. But other than that very first batch of tracts, the tens of thousands of tracts that have been printed there in Cambodia have been printed by one family that is very affluent in the state of Ohio who loves the Lord, and they realize God has blessed them financially, not so that they can live a life of luxury, but so they can further the kingdom of God. Thank God for people who are prosperous, who have the right priorities. Maybe God would cause you to become prosperous because your goal is to honor God and to win the lost and to see people discipled and trained and see kids get into Christian school through your wealth. But let me say this, for the majority of Christians who face that test of prosperity, many times it's prosperity that knocks them out of the Christian life. Why? Because it's so easy for every single one of us to fall in love with the gift and forget about the giver. Be careful about that. Prosperity. Pastors, thank God we don't face this here, but you know, there are a lot of pastors who are not willing to let their people go. By the way, you're not in control of that. You are in control of your friends. You're in control of if prosperity controls you. You're not in control of what your spiritual leadership would do to try to hold you back. But I don't believe a God-given authority here in this church, if they truly knew God's calling you and they've seen it in your life and they can say, you know what, you've borne fruit here at home, they're not going to stand in your way. This is not opposition here in our church. Parents. Sometimes parents can become a barrier. Young people that are afraid to let your parents know what God's doing in your heart, know this, that as a parent, we want what's best for our kids. We want our kids to have an easier life than we had many times. We want to try to protect our kids from danger. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we say, we tell our parents that God's calling us to do something or whatnot, and we haven't lived a good testimony at home. It's really hard to convince our parents God's called us to go be a soul winner in Cambodia when we can't even get up on time and make our bed every morning. Hey, some of you that are in junior high and high school and you think God may be calling you to missions, the day's going to come when you got to break that news to your parents. Start living as a Christian at home right now, and your parents won't be opposition in your life. They won't be a barrier. They'll be like my parents and my wife's parents, where if we came off of the mission field and went into sales or became a lawyer, my parents would be seriously disappointed. Why? Because they want us to do what God wants us to do. Not that they don't miss the grandkids. One thing you'll realize, now Pastor Myers, you have how many grandkids? Absolutely, Pastor Myers, Miss Alma, they love the grandkids more than they love their own children. That's what... That's the way my parents are. They could care less if we come back to visit America, but they're like, how come you didn't bring Jason? You know? Hey, parents, don't put pressure on your adult children to stay out of God's will because you missed your grandkids. Don't do that. You will regret it one day. Don't do it. Procrastination. Okay, I wish we could talk about these. Poor examples of what? Of missionaries who serve the Lord with no joy. Non-productive missionaries. And by the way, a missionary that's serving on the field and is not doing what God's called him to do and reach people, and they're lazy and they're not motivated and they're not excited and they don't know how to properly report, you're doing damage to the next generation. This thing keeps rattling, I'm not sure why. Maybe Miss Alma gave it some supplements too, I'm not sure. Okay, poor example, purposeless living. What is that? No direction in life. Living for things that are not important, no passion for eternal things. Program-driven churches can become a barrier. What does that mean? That means this, when missions becomes just another program in our church and just becomes prayer letters in the old building, but it's not something that we're passionate about. then missions has just become a program. And we will not see the next generation surrender to the mission field. Maybe next time we're in America, we'll preach about that if the Lord allows. Preaching that casts no vision. Preaching that casts no vision will result in the next generation doing nothing. Man, I was so motivated when I heard a couple months ago Pastor Myers preaching and motivating us to finish the second half of this building. Get the money and get everything so that we can get this thing done. And he made a statement that cast vision and motivated us. He said, listen, we have much more important things to do for the Lord than build a building. What was he saying? He was casting vision to us. But you know, oftentimes pastors preach without passion, without vision, without talking about the needs around the world. You know what that does? That results in young people being content to be status quo and lukewarm. Thank God we don't have that here in our church. A perception that is distorted. What does that mean? That's the concept that missionaries somehow are a special breed of people. And they're super Christians. I remember growing up, we would have missionaries come through my church in Iowa, and it was always weird. I remember one old lady was a missionary to Africa, and she was about this tall. She was really, really old, probably about 55, I guess. I'm not sure. She was really elderly, and she smelled a little bit borderline weird. I remember other guys, you'd be talking to them in the lobby, you'd hear them talk, you'd see them in the gymnasium playing basketball, and then all of a sudden when they get up to preach, they turn into a different person. Good evening, brethren. It's like, who is this person? A distorted perception, a distorted idea that missionaries must be some kind of super Christian and I could never attain. No, those people are just weird. Missionaries are just normal people. Okay? By the way, if you serve the Lord here, just be real. It was a great day several years ago when I figured out that when I serve the Lord, I don't have to try to be brother so-and-so. I just need to be who God made me to be. Right? Be the person God made you to be. And so these are invisible barriers. We're going to close because our time is up. It is God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the question remains, what is holding you back? We don't need another half hour sermon of talking about the Great Commission. We just need to seriously ask ourselves, what is holding me back? Am I willing to do what God's called me to do? Amen? Amen. You've listened well. Let's pray. And we will talk about faith promise. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful church, this dear pastor and his family, Lord. Please continue to direct here. May your will be done as you work in lives, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.